We're in a series called Exceed. And the last 4 weeks or so, I have been speaking about one parable. It was a parable of four different soils. Amen? And today we will unwrap a parable number two. In the same chapter, parable number two. And this parable is called wheat, not weed. Let's put a picture. Wheat and tares. There's a comparison picture. And we're going to put them, okay? So on the left, you have wheat. That's what we make bread of. And on the right side is a tare. It looks like a wheat. We can make drugs out of that, okay? Hallucinant. Yes. But they look similar, okay? Wheat, not weed, wheat and tares, okay? Now, last 4 weeks, okay, the first parable is about how Jesus planted a seed in us, correct? That was 4 weeks in a row. We talked about how we are the soil. Our mind, our heart is a soil. In the second parable, however, is about how Jesus plants us as a seed in the world. Okay, so here's the difference. The first parable, Jesus was planting a seed in our hearts. Because you might be confused. In the second parable, he's planting us as a seed in this world. You see the difference? And I don't think he can do second without doing first. So step one is parable number one that we've studied, four soils. First, the word of God, which is the seed, which is the information, has to be planted in our minds. Okay? The second step, it's inevitable. Inevitable second step in your growth and progress in Christ. You can't avoid this step. You can't say, I don't choose this step. It's a natural, when you take the first step, the natural thing is to take the next step. And that's God plants us as a seed in the world. Okay, so are you ready to read the scripture so you know what I'm talking about? All right, let's go into Matthew chapter 13, verses 24. It says this, another parable he put forth to them. That's Jesus. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed. Notice, good seed. In the field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. You saw the tares, they look like wheat. Among the wheat, and went his way. Verse 26. But when the grain had sprouted and produced the crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? God, what's going on? Well, sorry, it's not interpreting it yet. Let me just read it. How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So notice who sows tares. It wasn't the owner of the field. It was the enemy. Okay? Now, let me just stop here a second and say this. In the Middle East, and it probably happens today, if someone wanted to take revenge on their neighbor, what they would do is sometimes they would plant tares in a field of wheat. So if you really hated somebody, you know, in our days, if we hate somebody, we'll scratch their car. Now, you don't do that, right? We don't do that. But, you know, it happens, right? You see somebody you went to school with, maybe. I didn't do this, but I've heard it happens. And you see their car in a Walmart parking lot. And you're like, you don't belong here, man. And so you go pretty close to it, okay? But that's what they would do to spite somebody. So this was a normal thing that would happen in Israel. If somebody hated somebody and they were evil, they would find these seeds of tares, and they look black actually, and they would plant them at night to slow the harvest of the wheat. It was designed to stop the blessing, okay? So I'm talking about the blessing. Jesus is talking about the field, but he's actually talking about the blessing, okay? And so Let's keep reading. Verse 28 again. He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servants said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up? Do you want us to go and pluck out the tares?" Okay. But he said, "No." Some of you have answers. "God, I thought you planted me here. How come there is tares? How come there is troubles? If you planted me, if you're working through me, if you're using me, there shouldn't be any problems, right?" No, because there is another entity in this world who is working to undermine what God is doing in this world. And his name is the devil. And so he noticed the servants said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No." And that question, that answer, we have a problem with many times, don't we? We have a problem. "God, what do you mean no? What do you mean you're not going to pull out problems out of my life?" We know, we kind of get what he's talking about. "What do you mean? What do you mean no? I prayed about it. I've asked you. I fasted. I gave money to the church. So this problem called my boyfriend or my boss or my neighbor would be over with. But here, you said no." Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God allows wheat and tares to grow together. And that's where I have a problem with. How? Why, God? And here's what he says in verse 29. "But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up tares, you also uproot the wheat with them.'" So the reason it's no is so that good plants would not get uprooted with the bad plants. "God, but you're a great surgeon. Couldn't you surgically remove?" And God said, "No, because I have a plan. I have a plan." "But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in the bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn.'" All right, and that was the message of Jesus. That was his sermon. Now, he had multiple of those sermons in one sermon, but that was his sermon. Some of you are like, "What? What is that supposed to mean?" It's like I came today to you and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man deciding where to go to eat." One day, he said, "I'll eat at Famous Dave's, because Famous Dave's has good rib tips." All right? The next day, he went and decided to go to Buffalo Wild Wings because they had great salt and vinegar traditional wings with ranch in them. All right. The third day, he decided to go to Hoo Hot because he can have it his way at Hoo Hot, how he wants it. And he went and ate it and enjoyed it. And fourth day, he decided to go to Chinese. He had some Chinese. And he enjoyed that too. He who has an ear, let him hear. Goodbye. You understood what I said, but it made no sense. That's how the preaching of Jesus sounded to the disciples and especially to the people. You see what I mean? They understood the words. They understood that this happened in their part of the territory where they live, in their country. Sometimes the enemy would come and sow tares or weeds, right? Sometimes if you had an enemy, they would scratch your car type thing. But what does that have to do with anything? Well, see, this was about chapter 13 in Matthew is about the half of Jesus' ministry. Before that, he was speaking more of the, in a way people can understand. And they understood him, and yet they rejected him. So in chapter 13, he starts going full loco on them. He said, "Okay, you understand me, and you still don't believe or get it. So now I'm not going to waste my energy on you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to speak in parables. And if you want to understand, it was a, guys, listen to me. Listen to me. It was a form of judgment. Speaking in parables to the crowds, it was the form of judgment on them. Because they didn't want to hear and understand. They didn't want to know. They came there for the show. They didn't want to know him. They came there for the show him. Okay? They didn't want to know Jesus. They just wanted a show. Show us miracles. Hey, can you show us more miracles? Hey, can you feed us again? Can we have honey with that this time? We have a man here who has fish, bread, and honey. And a Diet Coke. All right? So can we, or wine? Yeah. Can we multiply all of it? It'll be a full meal. Fast food type, you know. Just blessed, Lord. And so the form of judgment upon them, was that he spoke to them in parables. And the truth is, if you really wanted to know Jesus and what he was all about, you know what you would do? You would do the same thing the disciples did. Listen to what they do. Verse 36, let's put that on the screen. Verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the four restaurants. What were you meaning with that? It wasn't a parable. For me, it was just a joke. But for him, it was a parable, okay? Explain to us the parables of tares of the field. He answered. So, just because you hear the word of God doesn't mean you're going to understand it. You're going to have to seek the one who gives it. And I'm not talking the preacher. I'm talking about Jesus. The only way to understand God and the Bible is to ask to get to know Jesus. He says the scripture and the prophets, they testify of me. That's what Jesus said. The whole Bible, the whole Old and New Testament, the prophets, the laws, he says it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. And so he doesn't want you to know the Bible per se. Jesus doesn't want you to know the Bible per se. He wants you to know him. And that's why he says, I'll preach in parables, because even if I explain everything to them in simple language, they don't want to hear it. They have hardened their heart. I want to ask you today, have you come here with a hardened heart? Have you come here today with a cup full, okay? Is this you right here today? And no matter what I say, you're like, I'm not interested. I'm just here for the jokes. Well, this is not a joke type of message today. So maybe wrong one. Well, then I'm out of here. I'm going for coffee, Pastor. Never come back. So see, but if you empty yourself, God can fill you again. So when you come to church, you gotta come empty. Meaning you got to empty yourself and say, God, I don't know anything. Teach me. Fill me. Fill me. I want to know you. Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle, says, so I may know him. I want to know him. His whole goal, his whole purpose in life was, I want to know you. I want to know you just as I am known. Because when I get to know you, I get to know more of myself. Amen. When you get to know God more, you get to know you more. And there's so much in you that you don't even know yet. And I don't even know yet. And it only happens in the presence of God. We're such a small thinkers. We only think about the immediate. You know, we only think about how can I pay the bills. But God says, I want you to think big. I want you to don't insult me with your little faith. And that happens in his presence. He starts building our faith bigger. Amen. I often get rebuked by the Spirit of God. He says, you think too small. I'm like, God, I'm practical, you know. I take calculated risks. He's like, yeah, but what, can you take some bigger risks that don't insult my intelligence? Take bigger risks. Believe me for bigger things, for more of what I can do through you. Not just what I can give you, but what I can do through you in this world. Every one of you have a sense that you were called for something bigger. You were meant to be as part of something bigger. You were meant to do more than just live and eat and have fun. You were called to change the world. You all know that. And Jesus says, follow me and I will help you and I'll make you something that you are not. Amen. Amen. How do you get to know the Word of God? How do you understand the Word of God? It has to be by trying to get to know Him. And per se, today is not a jumping around, running around the church type of a sermon. Because we're talking about weeds again and tares. And it's like wheat and weeds and all this stuff. But it's so important. You want to know Him. You want to know Him. And this explains Him. Explain to us the parable of tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus. Notice he called himself Son of God sometimes, Son of Man. Okay, in this case, he says Son of Man, Jesus. So who sows, who's the farmer? Jesus. Amen, Son of Man. Number two, the field is the world. So in the first parable, the field was what? Our mind, our heart, right? The inner part of us. In this parable, parable number two, it's the world. It's bigger. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. In the first parable, the good seed was the word of God. In this parable, the good seed is you. It's me. So you see what I said? First, God sows a seed in you. Parable number one. Then he sows you as a seed into the world. So God doesn't want to just sow a seed in you and leave you. He wants to plant you. Where does he want to plant you? In whatever sphere of influence that you have. If you're in entertainment, he wants to plant you in the entertainment world. If you are in business, God wants to plant you in the business world. If you are in media, he wants to plant you in media. If you are in politics, oh God, please plant some good seeds in the politics. My goodness, what's going on? And I'm talking both political parties. I'm not happy with my choice, trust me. I think it's better than the other, but still. God wants to plant you, but he can't plant you until he plants something in you. He can't plant you until he plants something in you. He's gotta, listen to me, he's gotta change your DNA before he can send you into the world to be his representative. And how long does it take? Because some of you, well, God is still working on me. It's going to take a couple of years. No, it happens at the point of you're born again. Right? When you are born again. Bible says in 1 Corinthians, let me see, where is that verse? Oh my goodness, did I not write this down? It says, he who is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away and everything has become new. So, when you are in Christ, you get a DNA change. Now, not your physical DNA. I wish he changed my physical DNA. I wish I didn't talk so much. I wish I didn't say things and then thought about it. You know, I wish I had a little different personality, more like Jesus, balanced out, you know, chill, more like, you know, small talk. I hate small talk. I have a hard time with that. It's like, let's talk business, okay? Okay, let's talk kingdom. Let's talk your problems, okay? Let's talk my problems. But let's not talk about nothing. Some of you are really good at small talk, and I appreciate you. Next time I have a party, please come to my party. Okay? I love you guys, small talk people. But oh man, it's hard for me to talk about nothing. Like, I only talk about nothing when just me and you. Yeah, I'm good at that. When just, I'm so comfortable, I drop my guard, and all the layers of walls around me are dropped, and then I become all goofy. Yeah, my daughter says, daddy, you're silly. Yes, I am. What are we talking about? DNA. What? DNA, that's right. DNA. God is not changing your physical DNA. He's changing your spiritual DNA. Spiritual DNA. And so maybe you were a tear before. Today, he's making you, he made you a wheat. When you come to Christ, listen to me, God changes your DNA. Now, that's going to be important in a second. You'll know why. Okay? Where are we at? Let's read. So the sons of the kingdom are the seeds, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Not everybody in this world is the sons of God. Not everybody in this world are sons of the kingdom. As much as we like to say that people are good, some people are not good. Let's just be honest. If any time in our history we can see that there's some evil people out there, as we can see it today when we watch the news media and we see how evil people can be. How can you go into a club and shoot 50 people dead and injure 150? What possesses you? And it's the seed that was planted in you. Have you noticed that? Yeah. The seed has a power in you to give life to others, or a seed has a power in you to destroy life and kill. Be careful what seed you allow in your heart. Okay? The Word of God is a good seed that will help build life. What about crusaders? They were bad too. Well, crusaders was an army like right now. If you think about it, if you don't look at history from what you're taught, but just look at it logically, the reason Pope organized armies of crusaders, because the Islam was spreading like a wildfire. And why were they called crusaders? Because he couldn't get him to go any other way. So he said, you'll fight for Christ and God will give you a reward. But really, it's exactly what we're doing. Why are we dropping bombs right now? We just don't do it in the name of Christ anymore. Yeah. Because we're secular now, you know. But really, we're doing the same thing. We're the crusaders by dropping bombs on Syria, in Syria and Iraq, Afghanistan, by killing ISIS, Taliban, and things like that. What are we doing? We're crusaders too. We just don't call it that way. Yeah. So crusaders were just secular men who Pope organized with a clever marketing scheme. If you go, you'll fight for Christ. And everybody was like, oh yeah, and I'll get what, heaven? If I die, oh yeah, sign me up, you know? My life is so miserable here in England or in Spain or wherever we are. I'm broke. I'm poor. If I go there, I have a chance for glory. And if I die, I receive all this. Now, Christianity doesn't promise virgins, 72, but Christianity promises a mansion in heaven. I mean, come on. Huh. Whew. I gotta get going. Not enough time. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. Okay, is the devil. So whenever God plants something, devil comes in to destroy. Why? Because there's a war between God and his one of his angels, whose name is the devil. See, devil is a logical devil. He was in heaven and he was a servant of God. You know, angels were created to be servants of God, but they have a free will, right? So Satan, Bible says he was created in such beauty and splendor. He was a top archangel. He was smart. He was a worshiper. He was a musician. Bible says that God created him in such a way that he was one of the most beautiful angels in heaven. And what happened is, because God gave him free will, pride somewhere found in him. And you know what Satan said? Why should we serve God? Yeah, he created us, but we want to be sovereign. We don't need God. If you look at our world philosophy right now in the world, not just the United States, in the world, we say, and our scientists say, we just don't need God. Even if he created us, we don't need him. Why do we need him? Why does he have to be a control freak, right? Why does he have to tell us what to do? Why should we worship him? Yes, okay, fine, we'll give it to him. He created us, but why can he leave us alone? Right? And that's what Satan says. And it sounds good to our democratic mind. Except when we are a part of God, God is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. A part of God is darkness, and there's no light at all. That's the problem. The problem, see, that thought sounds good to an American thinker, democratic thinker. Sounds good. We don't need God. Except without God, it's darkness. It's darkness. Right now in this world, we have two forces. We have the force of the kingdom of God and the force of darkness. So God works through his people and Satan works through his people. Listen to me. Satan has planted some people on purpose to disrupt the work of God in this world. Listen to me. It proves it right here. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. There is sons of the devil. Even, I hate to say it, but even in a church, there are signs to make you offended. There are signs here. Even in the 12 disciples, there was a son of the tare, of the devil. Come on. And Jesus, this is the cool thing. He knew that Judas was a thief, right? He knew that. And you would think he would pull him out and say, get out. Should we pull this Judas tare out? And God says, no. Because unless you pull the good seeds with it. No. Let Judas do what he's assigned to do. Judas is in your life, and we hate him. I hate Judases. How many of you hate Judases in your life? But they're assigned to make you stronger. They're assigned to help you fulfill the will of God. Even Satan, in some weird, perverted way, is God's servant. He still does what God wants him to do, because without that problem in your life, you wouldn't be here. Without that worry in your life, without that thing in your life, you wouldn't need God. You wouldn't be so strong today. How many of you saw my post I shared where there was a wolf and had a whole bunch of errors in him? Yeah, if we can put that up for second service. Let's find that on my Facebook. Sorry. First service, you're my guinea pigs. I'm just training on you for the second service. No, I'm just kidding. Kidding. No, just kidding. Evil laugh. But those problems only made you stronger. That relationship only made you stronger. That job only made you stronger. I remember being 16 years old and working as a dishwasher in a restaurant and a convention center. And they only hired me when they had these big 1,000 people conventions. They scheduled me. And I would be there till 3 in the morning washing dishes. And those pans, those aluminum pans, had bacon strips stuck to them, and they wouldn't wash off. So you had to pre-soak them. And I would be standing there praying, God, why would you do this to me? God, why? And today I know he was working something in me. He was working the endurance in me. I could have quit. You could have quit, but you didn't. Satan has his plans in the house, even the house of God, in your life and in this world. I don't know why, but I keep going to this seed thing. Not as you as a seed, but the word of God as a seed. Satan also plants his word. And I believe some ideologies in this world are totally satanic. I really do. And some people are deceived by these ideologies. And they allow that seed to be planted in their heart, the seed of hate. And then it just produces. Now, was there some Christians who done some bad things in the world? Yes. But you don't judge a religion based on its abuses. You judge a religion based on its founder. You never judge a religion based on its abuses. We have good police department, but I'm sure there's a few bad apples. Yep. We have in politics and in medical field, in medicine, we have some bad apples. But you don't judge a religion based on its abuses. Because there is. We're broken people, broken world, lots of abuses. Sinners sin. What did you expect? You judge a religion based on its founder. Look at Jesus. He said, turn the other cheek. Look at some other religion. Says, grab a sword and convert him. And if they don't, tax him. And if you overwhelm him, kill him. Study your religions, people. Study your religions, people. I know this is not popular, what I'm saying right now. But I felt by the Spirit of God so you wouldn't get deceived. Satan has planted in this world his seeds. Don't be naive as a Christian. No, we're all kumbaya. We're all going to the same place. It's different roads. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one, I might lose a few people here today. I hope you don't leave because you disagree with me. But if your pastor doesn't tell you the truth, who will?
Yeah, that's right.
If your doctor doesn't tell you the truth, who's going to tell you the truth? So don't expect me to be a pastor that just tickles your ears. Oh, la, 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 la. You feel good today? You coming back? Did you give an offering? That's not what we're here for. I keep a job so I don't have to worry about that. Right? But it's about the truth. And I hope I say it in love because I love you. And if you're a tear today, you're just doing the work of devil here. And you know that. How do you know you're a tear? Some Christians, they cussed yesterday and they're like, I feel like I'm a tear. No, you're not a tear. You're just a Christian who cussed and you need to repent and you're still a wheat. You're still a wheat. You can't change the DNA of a wheat. And only God can change the DNA of the tear. See why God says, listen to me, why God says, leave both till harvest. He's not threatened by a tear. Meaning, just because you're by the tear doesn't mean you're going to become a tear. Why? Because of your DNA. Now, the tear might limit the fruitfulness of the wheat. Instead of having 100 seeds on the wheat, you might have 30. But the tear cannot genetically, help me with the word, so good, cross-pollinate or cross-engrave itself into the wheat. Wheat and tares will be wheat and tares all the way to the harvest. Satan knows that. So does God. Satan's job is to limit your fruitfulness. And look how much God worries about you, how much He cares about you, that He won't even pull the tear. Not unless you get pulled with it. How does that apply to our church today? Why didn't Jesus pull Judas out? Because Judas was connected to Peter, to Thomas maybe. And you pull Peter, you pull Judas out, and guess who goes with him? Because they're so close. Thomas, he's doubting anyway. Right? He's a doubter as it is. He's wired that way. So you pull Judas out, and what happens? That's why you got to be careful how you leave church. Some of you are called here for a season. Some of you are called here for a reason. Some of you here are called for a lifetime. Those of you who are called here for a season, this is not a prison. This is a hospital, not a mental institution. Although we have a few nuts, but but the doors are open. You have an off-ramp if you want it. We're not going to keep you. We're not going to force you to stay here if you don't want to. It has to be because you want to. But if you're going to leave, make sure you leave in such a way that you don't pull the good seeds. I'm not saying you're tear. I'm just using it as a principle. If you're going to leave, make sure you don't pull other weeds with you. Wheat. Good seeds with you. Make sure you do it in the right way. I'm going to talk about that next week. But the enemy who has sown is the devil. So the enemy in this is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. This version says end of the age, end of eon. Okay. you know that it's not going to end all the way. God, this world will continue. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. God is going to recreate everything. Amen. So this is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. I'm going to talk about that next week. But can we put a slide number two, picture number two, so we can see side by side next one, the green one, the design, the green one. Yeah. So farmer is Jesus. Field is the world where God sent us. Good seed, sons of the kingdom. That's sons and daughters. That's you and me. Weeds or tares, sons of the devil. Enemy is the devil. Harvest, the end of the world or the end of the age. And harvesters are the angels. Now I'm going to quit here because I had 5 points. Tasia, I didn't even get to one. So next week, but I think God imparted enough knowledge into you today, and so you would understand. Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Amen.